There we go. Finally, success. Good old tech problems. How's everyone today?
Good.
I'm good.
Yay. Everyone sounds so lively and excited. So it's already new. Can you guys say who's here? I heard Vanessa and Peter. I heard Andrew, and I think that was Joey, right? Who
Yep.
else is
Yeah,
here?
that's right.
And Tara's here too.
Hey, Tara.
Yay. Hi.
Jason. Dino's here also.
Awesome. Full crew.
Awesome. Success. All right, cool. So let's, or is Jason here yet?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, cool. I didn't hear you. Sorry about that.
Moving.
And I don't know who has music in the background. It's lovely, but I don't know if you can go on mute just to make sure. All right, let's go around the room. We'll do wins. Tara is in the hot seat today. At least that's what I wrote down on here from before. Are we all set on that, Tara?
Yes.
Okay, yay. So we'll have you go last. Let's start with Andrew first. What are your wins and accountability for the week?
Let's see. When last, even though your highway system sucks, it was still an eventful trip. And John Lee Dumas friended me on Snapchat, so I'm excited about that.
I told him to. I was hanging out with him a lot. No, I'm
I'm
kidding.
sure you did.
Oh,
But
awesome.
here's the accountability, Jamie. He did it before you did. So how do you like them apples?
All right. I hang my head in shame. Thank you very much. He's obsessed with Snapchat. You should have seen him going after it. We did a basketball game with Pat and all those guys, and he was Snapchatting the
Right.
whole thing. Like, it was insane, kind of silly. Anyway,
Yeah.
awesome. Congratulations on the John Dumas following you. Now you can
So
send him weird
for
stuff.
accountability, I finished Essentialism, and
Yay.
yeah, I did it. I grinded through that, and I got the audiobook because I knew I'd never find the time to actually sit down, but I had a lot of time driving and stuff, so I got through that. Tara, some of the stuff that you put in place for me in terms of following through on the one-liner and that fascinate and how to fascinate is really handy. And I've really tried to push through and brainstorm some ideas relative to that. So I had a trial that was supposed to start today. It got continued at 5:30 p.m. last night. I spent the entire day in court. So I have the next 3 days. They opened up like the heavens for me to try and work on my business. But of course, much like digging a hole in the sand on the beach, once you clear it out, it quickly fills back in. So that's sort of where I am. But you guys have been great.
That's awesome. And I hope, I would love to hear either in the Facebook group or whatever on essentialism and what your actual takeaway is and what you're actually going to implement from it. Because I don't want you to read the book and then do nothing with it, because it is very potent if you
Absolutely.
actually do it.
Well, I'll tell you, since we're sort of following up on accountability, I did take a big lesson. Now, normally I teach on Wednesdays. So I teach a class at 1 o'clock and a class at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. And today is Wednesday. I expected being in trial, and I found, some people to cover my classes. Literally at 5:30 last night when my trial got continued, I immediately jumped to want to go and say, I'm going to go and teach at 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock, but I didn't do that. So I thought that was a big essentialism step for me, that I had already made arrangements for people to cover the class. I wasn't going to disrupt that. And I was going to let that go and delegate that so I could focus on some more essential items.
That is killer. So now you have 2 hours and don't let that sand fill up. So I want you and everybody listening to post in your face in the Facebook group what you're doing in those 2 hours, what you're actually going to complete in just those 2 hours. This is only an action item for you, Andrew, but I'm going to make you do that, okay?
It's actually, it'd be almost 6 hours. It's 2 hours and 45
Ooh.
minutes per class. So
Heck yeah.
it's,
Okay, then you can
yeah,
write a lot.
it's
Ooh, you thanks
five
for
hours.
telling me
5 hours
that.
I'm going to work it.
All right, make sure you
All right.
post. And
Works
everybody
for
else,
me.
we're
All
allowed
right.
to kick him if he doesn't. Okay, good. All right, Dino, you are up next. I know we just had an awesome call yesterday, but how's your wins and accountability?
Well, I think probably one of the big things for last week, I was feeling overwhelmed with this 100-plus list of things that was on my Asana task. I went through and I kind of divided up between stuff I was going to delegate, stuff I was just not going to do at all. So I've gotten it down significantly. It's almost chopped in half. So it feels
Yay.
more of a relief, not looking at all of these things in front of me.
Yay, that's huge.
Do you know, well, I had that problem last week too.
Okay, with the too many tasks on your plate?
Exactly, yeah, that's when Jamie told me to read Essentialism.
Dun, dun, dun. Awesome. I know I gave Dino a bunch of stuff to do, too. I will most likely – you haven't read Essentialism yet, Dino, have you?
I'm not sure if I read Essentialism, but I think I might have read the one thing. But
the one thing?
I'm not sure.
They're different.
I'm not sure if I did Essentialism yet.
Yeah, don't do it yet. I will tell you when it is necessary. But I know you're on that path, too. So how did accountability go? Did you actually get the stuff done last week that you said you wanted to?
I was going back over the things from the last hot seat. I think I got 2 out of 4 done. I started my organization chart is in all the ways filled out, but I have the beginning of it, and I went through and graded everybody. And then one of the things was chopping down those tasks. So I got 2 out of 4 done.
Yay. All right, cool. So next week, and it'll get better as we really focus on your 2 out of 4, too. We've been trying to free you up, as we talked about yesterday, which I think is going to be hugely important and will change in the future, so please be hopeful. All right, Zoe, we have you up next. And you know what we said last week? We said, what are your active actions? We need to name them so that way we can make sure they're hard enough for you.
Exactly, exactly. So, all right, so my wins were... I hired a project manager. I successfully hired somebody, which I know it probably doesn't even sound that hard. You just offer someone enough money and they say, yeah, that's how you hire somebody. But that was a big mental block for me to get over. So I was very happy that went well. And I'm really excited about the person I found. I think she's going to kick my ass and really help accelerate things and all that good stuff. So I did that. And then this morning booked me and my wife and kids and our babysitter are all going to London in May. We booked a 1-week trip. So that was a very big win. Active actions. I got 3 out of 4 from last week, and the ones I did were I hired my project manager. She starts February 29th. I set a start date for the beta of my third course, which will it'll start March 14th. Those were my 2 scary ones, Jamie. I said I need to do at least 2 scary things a week. So those were the 2 scary ones. I did write down and come up with my company values and a mission statement. And Tara, the 2 questions you gave me, what would my company never do and what will we strive to do? That was very helpful. So I did that. And the thing that I didn't do, which I've just moved to this week, is make an org chart. Because I just sort of, I have no excuse. I just didn't do that one. So looking ahead to next week, I have my 2 scary things I have right now. Tell me if they're scary enough. I need to so I did set up weekly meetings with my core team. We had our first one. But in the second one, I want to go over a structured vacation and bonus policy based on some of the ideas that that you guys got me thinking about last week. And that's kind of scary for me because I'm going to attempt to use the unlimited vacation days kind of policy, obviously not really unlimited, but I'm going to try and work out a way that makes sense for everybody and create and hopefully that creates an incentive for really talented people to stay with the team. And the bonus policy is going to be based on some of the stuff that Andrew was talking about last week. So that was one scary thing. And the second scary thing is to say no more, especially to easy money, because this last week I found myself spending 5-6 hours doing voiceovers, which is something I've kind of been doing on the side for years. And it's really easy money, but it turns out that at this point it takes up time I don't really have.
Who knew?
I think I'm going to have, and I know between today and next week I will have another opportunity to make some easy money, and I'm going to say no. So that's my second scary thing. And then I have a couple of easier things. So there you go.
Is wonderful. I love that. And I love hearing it too. So make sure everybody, we kick Joey if he does easy things again.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with the values and mission statement. Of course, you'll be doing the org chart this week, right? All right. So we have Jason up next. So Jason, what are your wins in accountability?
Yeah, I had a really hard time coming up with a win, really. I've just been, you know, nose to the grindstone, pumping out material, but this morning, you know, I fed the cats and I pulled out the laptop and I was, you know, trying to work on my course, but I had a headache and it didn't feel good. And I was just like, you know what, screw this. So I closed the laptop, went outside and was walking around. And then I kind of noticed, like, you know, like all the gardeners working and the guy from the water company checking meters and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, it's like 9:30 on a Wednesday morning and I don't have to do crap if I don't want to. So that is, you know, I came back and I felt a lot better after the walk. And so that's my win, just, you know, appreciating, feeling some gratitude that, you know, I'm not stuck in a cube all day anymore. So I'll call that a win.
That's a huge freaking win, a ridiculous win. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then as far as accountability, 6 of 6 last week, which was primarily just working on my new course.
Yay, congratulations, that's awesome. Vanessa and Peter, you guys are up next.
We had a good one for Yuhuru. We got new accountants per your recommendation.
Yay!
Per your recommendation, Jamie. We talked to them last week, and they are fantastic, and we're so excited. We fired our old accountants because they were freaking crazy. We didn't know how sucky they were. And then we talked to Robin and Al, so we're super excited. We're going to start with them this week.
Yay. And they're like family people. They're like, I want to visit you. You're like, they're like my grandparents. That's awesome.
So they are fantastic. We're really excited about that. We are actually – another really cool thing that we're working on right now, and I would think it's a great win, is we're at in Las Vegas at a conference for basically the fashion industry, and it's called Magic. And it's all week, and it's just thousands of fashion brands here. And what we're doing is kind of like a dual sneaky thingy, because I'm here because of my blog, but we get to use it as persona research for Yuhuru Network. So what we're doing is going around and asking different fashion brands stuff about social media and digital marketing and their biggest struggle with digital marketing and social.
We're building an industry report off of a pretty large sample size.
Whoever we get to talk to.
We're doing the ask survey in person. And then
that
we're
is
also
so
gonna
smart.
Then we're also going to turn this into a training content. It's how to do content marketing and inbound marketing at conferences and trade shows. Because many people don't understand, they come here to sell rather than use it to generate leads. So we have a whole bunch of things coming from it.
Yeah. And then the last thing from we're working on was a case study. We got to finish our case study that we were working on for the last 2 weeks. So that's up and done, and we're going to launch it on the website today and on our landing page that we did for one of our programs that we're doing. And, yeah, everything's going really well.
Yeah, the two wins, two conversion funnels are also launching. So we built out two conversion funnels also around the case study and a webinar that we'll have launching here as well.
I love how much stuff you guys get done while you're traveling, too. You're like, oh, by the way, we're out here. And by the way, we got this, and that, and the other thing done. How big is your team again?
We only have 8 right now, but we're trying to hire 2 more.
Okay, cool. So everybody that's in the hiring, only a handful of people so far listen to Vanessa and Peter and how awesome. They're like, oh, I got all this stuff done. They most likely did not do most of the things. They had other people do it for them, which I adore. All right. Thank you, guys. How did accountability – I mean, it sounds like you got a bunch of your stuff done. Did you get everything done that you said you wanted to get done?
I did. I was looking at that right now. I did the ebook. Where is it? We're prepping. We're here. That blog post that I had the writer do for my blog is still getting worked on. I wanted that to be done, but it's kind of more my fault giving her feedback. I sent it as a test to someone that reads my blog like every day, and I'm going to see if she's able to tell if I wrote it or not.
That's awesome.
So we'll see how that goes. And I'm still working on my content for the style guidebook, so that's going.
Perfect. Congratulations. I really am excited to hear whether they think it's the blog. Whether it's written by you or not, I think that's killer. So we've got Tara coming up next, but before I jump into Tara stuff, I just wanted to remind you all, it should be in your calendar now. I know we sent out a Facebook invite, but we have John Spence right after this. So as soon as we're done, we're going to hop over and start doing the millionaire Q&A. Hopefully you can go. He is incredible, like ridiculously incredible, just so you know. I did an interview with, and you guys know I've done a bazillion interviews, and I was like, I want him to be my mentor. He is amazing, works with super, super high-level businesses, and is really good at taking complex things and making them ridiculously simple. So for you guys for next time, and I'll preface this once we're talking on there, but he could help you guys so much with probably little tweaks. And so make sure you're there to ask specific questions, because we have plenty of time. There's only 13 of us, and probably not everyone can even be there. So I can actually like bring you up on the line so you can ask questions for him too. So that is coming up at 1 p.m. Central, which is 2 p.m. Eastern, which is right after this. We probably should have back-to-back it so that way people could at least go use the restroom beforehand. But, you know, we did this, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe next time we'll change it up a little bit. So just a reminder. And then Tara is up next in the hot seat right now, and I know she posted in Facebook also. So I want you to go through wins, accountabilities, and then how we can help you best today.
Sure. So my win for this week is that we finally launched the subscription contest for my new podcast, which is a big deal because we've been listenership has been fine, but I know that it could be so much more. And also sort of like the sub win on that is in agreeing to give them an awful lot of financial value of my things, I asked them, which was a big deal for me, I asked them if I could also get access to the email addresses they collect for the giveaway, because they're the ones running all the logistics of it. It's their legal team handling it and all of that stuff. And so they agreed to that. And so I'm
wow.
hoping that I can grab like a few thousand email addresses from that. So that should be pretty awesome. So I'm really excited. It goes for the next 3 weeks. So plenty of time to really go nuts. And we're giving away $4,000 worth of stuff. So I feel pretty good about that.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know that your goal
yeah,
is
thank
lead,
you.
So I'm like, yes, more lead. Like, that's a whirlwind. All right, I love that. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I'm realizing too that while I can chip away at my goal day after day, until I really get the traffic thing down, which is going to take time because it's, you know, a lot of trial and error and testing and seeing what works. And I'm doing really well at the day-by-day goal, but it's, I also recognize that I need some of these like big leaps ahead to make up for places where, you know, days that I don't get so much or, you know, any of that. So that's what this represents to me. And so, yes. Accountability, I did 2 out of 3. I didn't quite hit my new goal of just randomly reaching out to 5 people in my network, but I've already really changed my thinking on that, and so I see a lot more opportunities for it than I used to, and I have Peter to thank for that, and so that's really great. But the other two things I got taken care of. The topic for my hot seat today is that I have a membership site that currently generates about $5,500 a month. And I do very little work with it. I mean, it's really, it's just money. It's almost passive and it's extremely leveraged. And it brings in $5,500 a month without me doing anything in terms of promotion. We slowly creep up in numbers month over month. But I'm literally not, there's no sales funnel. There's no nothing. There's just lots of old links that go back to the sales page that get people to sign up when they land on old blog posts, basically. And we have a really, what I think, and this is actually a question, is like, what is a good benchmark for this? But I started doing a 10-day free trial about 6 months ago, and we have about a 70% conversion rate on that. So, you know, 7 out of 10 people who sign up for the trial actually come and pay for the first month. So I think that's good. I have no idea if it is or not, but I feel good about it. So anyhow, what I'd really like to do on the phone today is create an action plan for at least doubling our paying membership for that community, which should not be hard to do since we only have 150 people paying. And I just would like to get it by 300, get it to 300 by the time we're at the retreat. So like in the next 6 weeks. I think that's totally doable if I just put some energy behind it. I would just like to know from you guys what you see working, what's worked for you in terms of getting people to sign up for membership communities, getting them to stay around, sales funnels that you've seen that work really well. Should this be, like, should I sub this out for the Tripwire offer that I've been making? I mean, I've got lots of ideas for how to grow it. I'm really curious what you guys see actually working in something like this, because I don't have tons of time to put into it because, you know, I'm in the middle of a lot of other product development, but I know that if I spent, you know, 8 hours just working something out that I could at least really increase, I mean, it's not hard to increase from nothing, right? So anyhow, I'll stop rambling, and if you have questions, let me know, but that's the deal.
Well, before we dive too much into tactics, what has worked to get your 150 in so far?
There's two main ways people find the membership community now. One is that it's often a giveaway with my Creative Live workshops. So anytime I'm doing a Creative Live workshop, we give away 30 days free to anyone who buys. So we definitely get people from that, and that's an ongoing offer. So whenever somebody buys my workshop, even if it's, you know, from 2 years ago, they get that 30-day invitation. And so we get people from that. But the main way, literally, that we've gotten those 150 people to this point is just people randomly finding links back to the membership community from old blog posts. So, I mean, when I say I'm not doing anything, I mean, I'm not doing anything.
Some random links here and there.
I'm literally leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table for no good reason.
Well, I'm glad you're here so we can stop that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let everybody else go first. I love when I say that and then nobody says anything at all. No, you guys have to go.
I'll jump in here. Let me get in there. Tara, this is Joey. Hello.
Hey, Joey.
I don't know. I mean, to me it seems pretty obvious. If you have no funnel, you just need some sort of funnel. So a membership site is a little different than what I do, but I just swear by webinars. I mean, I feel like, you know, with the kind of clout you have, and I'm sure you've got, you know, a list that really like you already. If you invited them all to a free webinar and that was – and even if that's all you did and that was part one of the funnel and part two was here's a buy now button, I bet you'd get a lot of sign-ups, you know, especially if you're getting 70% conversion on your free trials. That's all I wanted to say. I would just start by trying a webinar because that's something you can probably, like, put together without a ton of time going into it. You know, if you spend, like, 2 hours putting it together and then you practice it once and then you send an email out to get people to sign up. Because you mentioned you don't have a ton of time to devote to it. So that was the first thing that popped into my head. We've had a ton of success with those. Joey out.
Yeah, I mean, webinars is definitely, I mean, when in the past I was promoting the site, webinars was a main way that I was doing that. Although it was, again, it was very scattershot. One thing that I'm curious about is I've never done anything with evergreen webinars before or like the pre-recorded webinars. And if anyone has experience with that, I'd be really curious because I would love to be able to, instead of utilizing, and maybe this is wrong thinking, but I would love to be able to, instead of utilizing the active pitching that I have going on to my list most of the time, I would like to be able to set a Facebook ad for certain groups in my audience and have them, you know, sign up for an evergreen webinar, then get the pitch that way and then go into a really short sales funnel. But I have zero experience with evergreen webinars and for some reason they just don't compute to me.
I would talk to Scott Barlow. He's not on this call, but he's in the Six Figure Mastermind. Because I'm in a separate mastermind with him, and he just set up, I think using Webinar Jam, an automated webinar funnel, and it's been working really well for him. So I would just reach out to him in the Facebook group.
Perfect. That's super helpful, especially since I already use Webinar Jam.
There you go. Beautiful.
Anyone else? If not, I can start, and then we can have people hop in within some of this. So do you know, Tara, if people on your list will buy, do they buy better from webinars, or could you pitch, especially since it's a free trial, can you pitch to your list, and do you think they'll buy without a webinar?
Oh, I think they would definitely buy without a webinar. I've really only had mixed success with selling from webinars before.
Interesting. Okay, because my list loves webinars better. Like me trying to pitch in general, it's not as good as webinar conversions. But it depends on your list, of course. So I would most likely do like a mini launch, what I call a mini launch, right? And since you're copywriter extraordinaire, I think your free trial, I'm assuming you'd offer a free trial to everybody. They probably don't even know that it exists right now. So you're just telling them
no,
and so you get a ridiculous amount of signups. Okay. So I would work on maybe a 3-email sequence or a small mini, quote unquote, mini launch, right, with testimonials and stuff like that, which I think is probably pretty easy for you to get going for the beginning pieces. And then I might actually put it as it seems like a freaking amazing tripwire if you're converting at 70%. So it's not in any funnel right now. Is there a funnel that you could sort of pop it into that makes sense or no?
Yeah, I mean, I want to redo my welcome sequence. And so I'm planning on just popping it into there. When I was actually typing out the here's what I want to talk about today, I realized that I really should just be making that my tripwire, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before, because my tripwire does really well. Another thing that I've been thinking about in terms of the free trial, and I'm sorry to go off on another tangent, but I spoke to Laura Roeder for the podcast a few months ago, and she mentioned that one thing that helped to increase the free trial, like people just even signing up for the free trial for Edgar, was actually having people request an invitation instead of having the call to action be actually signing up for the free trial, because people think, you know, I'm going to sign up. If I sign up for this, will I be able to figure out if I want to keep paying for it in those 10 days? Right. And so I've been thinking about toying with that too. And then basically having people request the invitation for the free trial, sending them 3 emails, I wrote 3 emails basically in quick succession and saying, okay, great, your invitation's ready, you know, join us. And then being able to have an upsell, or not an upsell, but a reminder and a downsell from that if they don't sign up. And I guess an upsell, I don't remember what I was thinking, if they do sign up, but something like that.
I love, so it's not just one, here's the thing. Yeah, no, I think that's killer. I think that's ridiculously killer. I mean, just to test it anyway, if you're converting a ridiculous amount anyway on the upsell from free trial to whatever, that's ridiculously impressive. But if we can get the conversion rate on getting people into the free trial to be like high quality, like that's insane. So yeah, I mean, so how long would it take you to do implement that piece?
Oh, I mean, I could have that done by like Friday.
You know,
I mean, I just mean, it's literally so stupid what I'm not doing with this offer.
This is why you are here, right? So
right, it's why I'm here. It's why I decided this is what I need to talk about today, because now 10 people will say to me, hey, Tara, why haven't you done that thing?
Exactly. So if I were you, though, I would do probably the mini launch. So the thing is that there's so many people on your list right now that don't know it exists. So I do the mini launch first, and then I'd put it in the welcome sequence after the fact. That way, because even if new people are getting into your welcome sequence right now and you do like a couple email pitch of this free trial, then I would put it in. I would put the request for an invite in the welcome sequence. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what have you done? Have you ever done sort of mini launches? Oh, yeah. Somebody else can jump in so I don't just take over.
Well, I have a quick question just to have a deeper understanding. Have you asked any of the people who transitioned from a trial to the full membership, why they chose to keep it, you know, move to the membership?
No, which I thought was really interesting when you were talking, I think, with Dino about that last week in the Facebook group. I haven't done anything in terms of surveying members. We've even been terrible about communicating with members in the past. That is all fixed, and they're loving that. So that's something I'd like to implement as well, but I'd love to know where you're going with that.
Yep. So are you familiar with ClassPass?
No.
So ClassPass is a membership to gyms, and they built a community. It's like the, you know, Uber of gym subscriptions. So you pay them, and they give you access to a variety of gym memberships. We've consulted with a competitor of theirs, so I'm only using them as an example for you. But the idea behind it is they were using trials and putting about 10,000 to 15,000 a month into advertising for acquisition. And the push was, again, how are we going to transition? So the key was, if the onboarding process provided value, instruction, and made it easy for them to progress, they kept their membership. If they didn't, and they had to flounder around and didn't have a great welcoming sequence, they typically didn't renew. So that was a way to increase revenue, was to build a very detailed welcome series that they interviewed those new members to figure out what was necessary. So if yours are automatically converting, one other red flag with conversion rates, if I hear high conversion rates, I typically think low volume, just as a
reference. Oh, yeah.
So as you increase in volume, your conversion rates typically normalize to industry standards. Not always. Of course, they're the outliers who write case studies that no one else can produce, but you typically have a decrease in conversion rates as your volume increases. So you always have to think, if you're increasing the flow into your funnel, you will decrease those conversion rates. So when you're doing
right.
projections, you just want to make sure you accurately and conservatively project.
Yeah. Do you know what an industry benchmark is for that?
It depends on the industry. So, again, from the information product side, I know Jamie has a little bit more access. I tend to stay out of that vacuum. Where I like to shine it in other industries where there's less saturation and more need. But definitely what you're looking for is, from a trial standpoint, it should be higher than 40%, for sure. So 40 to 60% is very common from people transitioning, depending on the welcoming sequence. So if your seven-day trial, if you have a daily email to remind them, that's also helpful. I don't know what they're getting access to in your membership, if it's just gated content or if you have videos, but essentially you want to make sure that there's some level of, okay, here's your progression with me, and this is what we're going to do together over a period of time.
Yeah, that we actually, I think, do pretty well. That was one of the big changes I made when I decided I wanted to increase membership. So they do, there's a list of recommendations of resources to check out from inside that are, you know, from inside our gated area. And then there's also a list of suggestions or a couple of emails of suggestions of things that they should post in our community as well. So tell us a recent success story. Tell us, you know, a question that you are really struggling with or that, you know, you don't know who to ask. And so that's been, I think that's doing really well. Although I really like the idea too of serving people who've just completed that trial and stuck with us to find out, you know, what more do you need from us so that we can include some sequence as well?
Yeah, there's 2 points. So one thing that Dina and I were chatting on is Net Promoter Score. So, of course,
yeah,
typically Net Promoter Score is, will you refer us? And then the sneaky thing is, if you build Net Promoter Score correctly as a workflow, then when they say yes, they would refer, you have a follow-up, which is, say, refer three people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
If you do have the type of community that isn't competitive, meaning they want you all to themselves and they're not going to tell their friends that they're in your group, then typically that type of request works really well. It won't have the highest conversion rate, but, again, you'll be able to onboard additional individuals who you wouldn't have had access to previously.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
I'm taking notes for you too, Tara, so I can get right some action items. I'll send them off to you too.
Bye. Thank you.
So we don't,
and what you're getting that list of 1,000. When you get that infusion of lists, make sure you're doing a lookalike audience.
Okay.
So, I mean, some things that are easy to consider. Most Facebook ad campaigns are poorly constructed, which is why they're easy for us to come in and improve. But what you really want to make sure is you have a clear funnel for them to drop into. It doesn't need to be as advanced. When you're getting the conversion rates and the success that you do have, again, you just want to get in front of the right people. You don't care about increasing the volume exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was your churn rate? How long do they stay? They typically stay?
You know, that we are not tracking right now. So that I don't know, but that's going to be something that we are looking at, obviously, as we're increasing membership.
Definitely. Do you know how many new signups you get a month right now?
I had that open before. Where did it go? I think, we had 30 last month.
Okay,
So we converted 21 and lost 9.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so creating KPI, and I don't know if you do like a weekly KPI meeting or anything like that with your team, but putting those things up there too. Because, I mean, heck, it's a product that seems to be doing pretty well randomly.
I know.
Being able to know what those are. Don't you love that? Oh, too much opportunity.
Yeah.
Darn it. All right, cool. So I figure out what that is.
My statement. So, yeah, Sarah, if you want to start improving your conversion funnel, just like Jamie said, KPIs once a week and making sure if you see it, you'll improve it.
Yeah, that was something. So my main assistant had been doing that, and I'd been checking in with it. And then she's just the demand on her time has grown like crazy. So we just hired somebody to work beneath her. And so now she can start doing that again. And so I can start tracking those numbers again.
Nice. And use Infusionsoft?
Yeah.
'Cause you might be able to just put up a report and have that report sort of be done for you.
No, we use ConvertKit.
Ah, okay. Okay. Okay, so right now I'm just recapping. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, we use WooCommerce on the back end,
cool.
So there may be reports that we can run from there as well.
Okay, I'd check that out too, for sure. So right now, just to recap, the mini launch, do you know what you would do that? Do you have any questions on that side of it, or are you like, no, I got that down?
Oh, yeah. No, I got that. That's fine.
I thought so. Almost done already, right? We say it, it's almost done. All right, so then the request and invite and adding that to the welcome sequence can be done quickly shortly after that. I said survey the people, net promoter score, asking for referrals, weekly KPIs, and then, of course, I know we talked about the webinar thing. It sounded like you don't really want to go down that path, but you tell me if you have any questions on that or how else we can help you, because we've gotten a lot of things already figured out. So what other needs do you have?
And you can transition that. By the way, so you don't kill it, Jamie, you can say instead of doing the webinar, do a downloaded, recorded video.
Okay.
So typically, if you don't like doing live webinars, the thing you want to do, and you see everyone from Neil Patel and even, what's her name you hung out with, Jamie? I stalked you for a little bit. You popped up in my feed. Bobby, what's her name? Outsource Queen. They do download the video.
Okay. It's bad that I don't know who I'm hanging out with, and you do. That's awesome.
Well, if it was at a summit, you might have been drinking, Jamie, so who knows.
Oh, Bonnie Fay? Bonnie?
There you go. Thank you, Bonnie.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bonnie is, and many others do the video sequences. So even Michael Port just did his, right? So video one,
mm-hmm.
Video two, video three. And that's so they don't have to do webinars. So, and ultimately, if you build up that type of lead sequence, you get the value of the people interacting with you, seeing you, feeling, you know, the connection with your personal brand, but also enables you to automate it.
Okay, great. Yeah, and for the record, it's not that I'm anti-webinar. It's just for me, they've been way better in terms of list building than they have been in terms of selling. And so I'm going to be doing a ton of webinars over the next year, but I think it would be better for me to focus them on the list building side and kind of have this as a follow-up offer with a different sales funnel, I think.
I feel like more – so don't get me wrong, I think you're great at webinars too, but I feel like you're just so good on video, like seeing you, and you're so personable, I would probably be testing the – like even if it's just start out of one video first, because you're just so good at that, it seems like that would be the easier, logical next step. And then once we sort of get into the stuff, I mean, that's just me knowing you. And if you told me that
the conversions aren't stellar on what, like, I adore webinars just because I like the live aspect and I like attention. So there we go. No, but being able to like have people on live is really important to me. For you, it doesn't sound like that at all. So, I mean, most likely would, I think you could do exactly what you're looking to do with either a sequence or at least a couple of videos. And you'll know once you start, I mean, the fact that you put any effort into this at all, I'm sure it'll start moving the needle.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to figure those pieces out as you go through too.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about price with this for a minute too? It's been $39 a month for like 2.5 years. And I had planned on raising the price last year to $69 a month, and I never did because I had so much website shame with it. And then I got the website fixed up, and we fixed up all this other stuff. And I'm still just stuck on the price.
Okay. Why? Why are you stuck on the price?
Because I just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if volume is better or if I would be better off like raising it to 99 and having less volume, but making a lot more money per person. I don't know.
What is it worth?
I feel like the market is all over the place.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, what do you, so the people that are in it, what do you think it's worth to them? Honestly.
I mean, we have still so many people say that they just can't afford $39 a month, which I just, it's like, okay, well, then you shouldn't be playing this game. So I hate to even, I mean, if people use it, it's invaluable. It's when they don't use it that it's expensive or that it's not worth it. And so, I mean, if they use it, it's easily worth $99 a month. I'm still in there answering almost everybody's questions. And we've got staff that are answering people's questions. So, I mean, it could be $199 a month.
Interesting. Then who's the avatar that, I mean, it sounds like you have sort of a range of avatar. If we've got some people that can barely afford $39, I'm assuming there's quite a few that could afford $97. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking about this. So who do you have one avatar for this or do we have multiple?
So I would say that this is the offer that a lot of people test us with. Mm-hmm. And so I don't care about the people who can't afford it, first of all. I mean, I care about them personally, but not business-wise. just so we're clear. So it's our normal customer, which is, you know, a woman between the ages of 35 and 45 who is probably making $50,000 to $75,000 a year in their business right now and would like to get to 100 or to 150 or more. But they are not, for the most part, they are not clued into actual internet marketing groups. They're from the Marie Forleo, Kate Northrup, Danielle Laporte side of things, and they actually have no idea how to market their business or how to build a product or anything like that. And so that's why they're making so little money and also why they're not using the group to its full extent.
Oh,
I don't know if that helps or not.
No, it
does.
That's
the problem that I run into constantly.
Yeah, well, you positioned this in the beginning as this sort of being the tripwire, which is why I'm like, okay, if we change it to 97, we're changing sort of where in the funnel it also might go, right? The pricing question is more than just the pricing question. It's sort of a whole funnel question in and of itself also. Because it mm-hmm. sounds like you're providing massive value, which is awesome, and that's sort of the whole point of the tripwire, right? We want the term tripwire because I really don't want to kill people, right? But the whole point is to, you know, deliver the massive, massive value so they adore you and want to buy more stuff from you. And it sounds like you're delivering that at the price point like 1,000 times over. And you know that you can get over 300, right? And that people are going to drop off, and not drop off, but not participate as much as they want, right? A lot of the people won't actually do the work. We already know that.
Right.
So what's the difference to you in having 300 at 39 or having whatever the number is, like, you know, 100 at 99? Is there a big difference in your brain between those two?
So because we have so many people go from the membership community to our flagship program, I feel like having more volume means there's more really, really qualified leads for the flagship program. And so that's, I think maybe, and that might be the heart of why I can't seem to decide on a price, is because in so few things do I care about volume. And in this, I think I do, because I think I see it as an opportunity to, you know, get people in there for 2 to 3 months and then upsell them to the flagship program, and have a really good response from that.
I love that answer. And is that, it sounds like that's the meat of it, but is that something that you can commit to? Oh, I'm only going to do this for $39 for the next year, so that way we don't have to think about it again. Or does that bring something up in your gut?
Oh, no, I'm totally fine with that.
Okay, so is the question...
And I mean, I think... I think so. I think what I'll still do is raise the price. I just won't raise it dramatically. Like, I had put in my projections for this year that I was going to raise it to $49. And so I think I might just do that and leave it at $49 for the next year and then reevaluate, you know, come early 2017.
Awesome. So I would, definitely test it. I have a feeling that $39 or $49 will probably go about the same. You could also, mm-hmm. if you want to, do this mini launch saying that it's only $39 right now, get in at the grandfathered rate. So that way we have a reason for the mini launch too. And then we raise it to $49 right after, which is in the welcome sequence.
Perfect.
Success.
Quick question. Right. can we add a component of details? Tara, what is your typical transition to your flagship program? How many?
It's probably about a quarter of every time we enroll in the flagship program. So, I mean, that's not a ton of people. It's like 10 people at a time, but it's 25% of our new enrollments.
Okay. You said an interesting statement, which is if you increase the volume in your Tripwire product, then you'll have more qualified leads for your flagship. When you said, I would typically think the inverse. I would think if you increased the value that someone has to pay for, you'd vet those leads and vet that community so they could afford the flagship program?
Yeah. I think I was thinking qualified this time, not in terms of financially, although you're exactly right. I was thinking qualified in terms of their far enough along in their relationship with me and the community that they don't feel it's quite as big a risk to invest in the flagship program. And also I should say too that we're changing the flagship program this year so that there's a guided component, which is the way it's always been, but there's also just a DIY version. And so I don't need people to be able to invest at, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 anymore. I only need people to be able to invest at $1,000 to be a good lead for that. And so I feel like we're going to get a lot of conversion from that, but I don't know yet because we haven't done it before.
Got it.
Awesome. So we have about 10 minutes left before we have to hop on with the millionaire. So what would you like to finish up with? Because I feel like we've been checking boxes off this list so far, Tara.
Yeah, this is really, really great because, like I said, I mean, it's stuff that I could have come up with this by myself with just, you know, finally making some decisions, but now there are certain things I have to do, which is perfect. So thank you all for that. I think the last bit is what I thought was going to be my hot seat question for today, which is I'm really in the thick of moving from a personal brand or a personality brand even to a company brand, and getting people familiar with working with that brand instead of working with me. And I think I'm doing all of the right things right now. I mean, you know, everything looks like the new brand for the most part. Everything, you know, I'm starting the social media accounts with the brand as well. I'm generating content on that site. I'm generating content for multiple people on that site and not just me. So people are starting to get used to it, but it's still a tough transition when I've been me for the last 7 years. And now we want people to do business with an entity. And so I would love just any ideas or hints or maybe things that I'm overlooking for making that transition from a personality brand to a company brand.
So one thing I'll say, and I don't know if you're doing this already because you might be. So when working with business owners and moving them to the ownership role over like CEO. It's kind of similar in terms of you need to let the people that work for you and the people that know how much you respect and how smart the executive team are, or how smart these people that you're leaving the business in their hands with, the trainers, right? So I went through like a list of all the names of everybody. I think you probably do pieces of this already, but I would love to see you almost put them on a pedestal, right? And even more, instead of, because right now everybody has you on a pedestal, right? And if you're going, oh no, they're good, but you're sort of saying they're good on the lower pedestal, right? Like, oh my gosh, you're amazing.
Right.
I wonder if we can almost lower, and we don't want to lower you, of course, but you know what I mean? We want you to be putting them on a pedestal, so therefore your audience is looking at them going, oh, wow, if Tara thinks they're better at that than she is, that's huge. Because I don't want, like, no offense, but usually I want the main guy. I don't want the protege. Like, yeah, maybe if it's cheaper,
right,
I'll go with the protege, but who the heck wants that, right? I want the main guy. Unless they said, no, this guy's even better at this specific thing than I am. Then that makes me respect them more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really similar to another piece of feedback that I got. And so I've started making that transition in my head, but the way you just put it now is really, really, really helpful as a way to frame that up for me.
So I don't know if you can do videos with them or something like that, but I can totally see you having like a personal conversation with them and sort of not gushing, but you know what I mean? Gushing about how amazing they are and how much you've helped them, but also putting you sort of in the, not that you're an apprentice in any way, but you're still in the learning mode anyway, and doing it like that. So it's personable,
gotcha,
and awesome, and being like, Brianne is amazing. Like when you started talking about her, I was like, I hired her too. You know what I mean? The reason why I hired her is because Chris Gilder
right,
hired her and Natalie Sisson hired her. You know what I mean? And so she is sort of the person behind the person. So, but if somebody comes to you and they're like, so wait, I want to tear out who is this person? You really have to sort of show them how much it's amazing, right?
Okay.
Cool.
And,
anyone else?
Peter, yeah, I can add a component that you may like. When we transitioned from being a consulting company to an agency, the thing that was necessary is the development of a process. So typically individuals sell their intellectual property, what they do well, but companies sell procedures and results. So depending on how you're framing the marketing, you would probably want to say it's fine that you created it or you developed it with your team, but really what you're providing them is the process and execution that will generate the results, not the people specifically.
Yeah, that's really helpful, because I mean that is what we offer, and maybe I don't do a good enough job of saying that that's really what it is, because that's definitely my goal. So that's super helpful too. Thank you.
What do you think the best way that we can do that? So as I was writing notes for you, I was like, okay, put the people on the pedestal, put the process on the pedestal, right? Because that's sort of the whole point.
Yeah.
How can you show that to your audience? What do you think the best way to do that would be?
I mean, on a kind of passive level, I could actually see building out our about page like that. So that the procedure and the philosophy behind the brand is sort of like the top of the, not only the top pedestal, but the top of the about page. And then actually, instead of having me, having our team and the people who are facilitating programs, and then have me at the very bottom, just as sort of like a really, you know, design-oriented visual way to display that. And then I think I need to apply the exact same thing on sales pages as well, because to this point, what I've been doing is me, the process, the people, and I can do process, people, me instead.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else on that? Nothing. Okay, good. No. So we have a couple minutes left. Do you have any other final questions? This is what happened on Monday session. Karen's like, I'm done. And we were 15 minutes early and we're like, so what do you guys want to do? So we actually brought up other people that had other questions in the group, but we only have a couple minutes left for you. So if you want us to look at the email that you had posted in Facebook about getting those last 30
Oh, yeah,
people.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, okay. If we could take a look at that real quick, that would be amazing.
Yay, see? Above and beyond. All right, so everybody check out the Facebook group. She actually put exactly the email in that, so we can give her some feedback verbally, too.
Yeah, so cool. This is for the conference exactly. That I have coming up at the end of April.
And who is this specifically going to?
Well, I've already sent it as a test to people who I know are interested in the summit because they've clicked through to it, which is a pretty small segment. But I was planning on just sending it to my whole list Thursday because we've had so many people join the list in the last few months that most of them don't know it exists. Again, this is a problem that I have. That's what I was just going to send it to the whole list. But the ideal attendee is the same person that I was talking about earlier.
Okay, interesting. There's a lot of name dropping in here. So I know like Charlie Gilkey and I know some of these people. Does your list know all of these people?
They have definitely seen most of them have seen the names before because they're people that we've shared content from before, or I've done webinars with in the past. I mean, they're regulars in our community, and they're all subject level experts.
Okay, cool. So it's not as – so I like how you ask the questions and then say their names, but I'm going, okay, I personally like to see benefit for – like, okay, what's the benefit instead of, oh, so-and-so can help you ups and downs of business ownership. Okay. Does that make sense? So I'm like, okay, if I want to go to the conference – and I know you've sold this before, so you probably took some of the pieces from your sales page or something like that, right? And sort of put some of this in here. But that's sort of just my feedback in general. Whenever I try and decide whether or not I want to go to a conference, I think of who am I going to meet there, right? Is my ideal audience there, or are the speakers the right people, right? And when I leave that conference, what am I going to walk away with? And so I like you saying, after a day of workshops and hot seat coaching, I want to think about what's the hot seat coaching going to do for me? Does that make sense? Instead of going like,
yep.
Okay, great. Now I just have stuff. Okay. I'll let everybody else jump in.
Yep.
Yeah, Tara, this is Joey. That was honestly very similar to the one thought I have because you're a very good writer. Like, you're starting the email at the beginning of the conference instead of at the end of the conference where this person is transformed by having gone there. So I wonder if maybe that's just something to think about is your brain. Yeah. Start at the end with so it's May 2nd and your business is, on the path to doubling in the next 6 months. How did you get there? And then you get into like how amazing. And frankly, I read your email and I'm like, I want to go to this. Sounds great. Like,
I love the idea of starting with the end. So to be honest, I'm completely ripping off a template for this email was floating around and that Brianne actually tried with amazing results. And so we were like, this would be great for the summit too. And so I'm totally just ripping off a template. But I love the idea of bringing the end up to the beginning and then say, this is how you got there. So that's
right.
Brilliant. Thank you.
No problem. I'm sure I stole them somewhere too, so it's all good.
Yeah, and another lead in Peter here. So you have imagine 12 speakers, imagine being in a room. You're leading with features, not benefits. So another way to structure it. And then, of course, send two emails, half the list A/B tests.
Right. Okay, sounds good.
That's a great
idea. Yay, so we got right till 1 minute left. Sweet, and we solved all your problems.
Awesome.
Sorry, Tara. Nothing left for you. So I'm going to go and hop on the webinar right now. How many of you guys can go to the webinar with John Spence?
I'm in.
Yay.
Kinda.
All right.
Kind of. Yes.
Kinda. Seriously, you guys.
I'll be there for a little bit.
Ridiculously impressive, just so you know. I went through my entire list of millionaires and I categorized ones that would be really, really beneficial to you versus ones that would be millionaire hustler, kind of like lower level. So I only went with the people that I don't want to waste your time. You know what I mean? Like, no offense. I don't want somebody that just made a million.
John Spence is like killer. That's why we have him. So just as a side note, I know I have to jump off onto that right now. Who's in the hot seat next week? Because I didn't pull it up beforehand. Because you guys are supposed to know, right? Yeah, let me see. No one knows? All right, hold on. Let me.
I think it's me.
Trying to
Jason.
Find it.
I know. I'm trying to pull it up, but I'm slow.
What, honey?
I think it's Jason.
Okay. We're gonna say it's Jason, then I'll check, of course. But I just want to make sure whoever knows that they know they're on. So I'm going to hop over, chat with John. They're actually already on right now. I can see them all. and I will see you guys hopefully over there in just a second. Thanks, guys. Hope you have a fantastic week. We'll chat again next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.